in high definition, or standard definition if you like, delivered on iTunes Podcast, or on another podcast app called Podomatic. You're listening to Jamie Way, Matt Olson, and Adam Drummond on The 5 o'clock Wave.
Welcome, listeners, to The 5 o'clock Wave. This is Adam Drummond, and I'm joined by my regular cohorts, Matt Olson and Jamie Way.
Hello! Sorry, that was my little contribution.
And Benny Hill.
No. And what was that?
Who said that? Who was the boot in the ass?
I'll tell you who said it.
Another week, another podcast.
More production values.
How has everyone been? Did everyone have a good week?
I had a great week.
Yeah, what'd you get up to?
I sat in a chair.
Between the dates of February 13 and February 21st.
21st?
Yeah.
20th. Yeah.
No, we're a day late. We should have recorded this.
Saturday, are we? No, yeah, we're not.
There was a weird sort of sophisticated time dilation
Adam
effect.
Drummond.
Where the passage of that week only felt like
Adam
about
Drummond,
10 seconds
you,
from the sign off of the last podcast.
Yeah.
It was strange.
It was
Is
45
it just me,
seconds.
Dear listeners, or did Adam Drummond get out of the wrong side of the bed today?
Yeah, he probably needs a cuddle and a suck on
Adam
a titty.
Drummond, you're sounding a little bit grumpy.
Not at all. Not at all. Shut up.
Just pop this man titty in your mouth here and have a little suckle.
We're obscure, aren't we?
Yeah,
one
thing I forgot to mention last... Excellent. What the hell was that?
Oh, I don't know. I'll stop it.
It was my birthday a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, happy birthday for a couple of weeks ago.
Thanks.
Happy birthday to you.
Me.
I feel bad. I didn't even text you, I don't think. Did I?
21.
No, you're not on Facebook.
21.
Nothing.
Well, it's because I'm not
again?
On Facey anymore.
Yeah, it's hard.
I went back for about a day. And not back. Like, I reactivated it so I could populate my list of contacts on stuff like Words with Friends and that. And then I was on it for a day, checked it twice, and went, oh, this is worse than I remember. And just had to get rid of it.
You thought, this is such a total waste of time. I'm going to play Words with Friends.
Yeah,
that's
how
far
bad
better
Facebook
use.
Is.
That is actually a far better use of your time.
Yeah,
stimulates a brain.
I know,
keeps you connected with people.
Oh, this is a waste of time. We're gonna go play a computer game.
Yeah,
I'm gonna play Scrabble. Anyway, speaking of which, I got myself an Xbox One. For my birthday. And I really like it.
And because you like wasting time with things like that, I've decided that for your next birthday, I'm gonna get you the box set, full collection of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Would you like that?
There's a hell of a time waster.
Yeah, I mean, you know, grinding that up in the thermomix and injecting it down my dick hole will really take up a lot of...
Well, it actually does come with baby oil.
Yeah,
well, so
yeah,
you,
good.
You
no,
get,
no, 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 no. I don't want any lubrication. I want it to go in dry.
You can get your ass That's gonna provide nice more. And oily for photos on your next cruise. Ugh. Just part of the pack.
They're the actual worst. Like, they're the worst people. I think I've said that before. Like, it's...
What about the dad? The stepdad.
Bruce Jenner,
who's becoming Bridget Jenner or someone.
He's making the transition.
He is a good-looking woman.
He killed someone.
Did he?
What?
In a car crash.
When?
Well, let's not say he... Let's
hang on,
put an allegedly
alleged?
In here somewhere.
No. Someone died.
I think he was
There's
involved
no
in a fatal
it.
Car accident. I don't know whether he caused the accident, therefore killed the person.
Was he putting his lipstick on while
that,
he was
that,
driving?
I've heard that's what happened. I heard that
he
was
putting makeup on.
I heard that he caused the crash.
Well, let's just put it under the allegedly blanket, shall we? Well,
okay, fine. He caused the crash, allegedly.
Yeah, that'll get through legal, depending how you edit
Wait,
it.
Wait, is there like a limitation of how long the pause
how
can be?
How long the pause can be.
Or how short it has to be?
Well, let me just consult it's the team tick, of tick, 5 o'clock tick, wave tick, lawyers tick, who are here in the room with us. Lawyers? Oh, right, that's right. Yeah, we don't have any fucking lawyers.
You know what, Bruce Jenner, you're out there listening, and you probably are.
He probably is.
Get stuffed.
Yeah.
So, let's carry on.
Well, I mean, I'm sort of torn about this thing because, like, I don't want to be disparaging towards people who are making gender transitions and stuff like that. That's a perfectly valid
That's got
thing,
nothing to
like,
do with it.
No.
he can be that person and still be an awful person on a reality TV show. I don't want people to conflate my hatred of reality TV with Bruce Jenner's transgender status.
And there is that real issue of really knowing or not knowing actually who these people actually are. We have no idea who they actually are.
Well, we're getting,
because they never show us.
We're getting a little bit more of an insight because of Kanye, I think. And
are we though?
Kanye,
I don't think we know who he is either. I think everything we see, everything we see is an act.
You know who he is? He's a good guy. And you know why?
He's a douchebag.
He's giving unknown musicians
like
a step up,
like a Paul little McCartney. Old man from Britain called Paul McCartney.
McCartney, who has not really got a name. A lot of Kanye's fans had never heard of him, and they were like on Twitter saying, "Good on you, Kanye," because this guy, his career is going to skyrocket once he does this song.
Never
with
heard
you.
Of this old man before.
And Rhiannon,
Rihanna.
Sorry, see, I don't know who she is.
Or Rhiannon.
Yeah. Well, I think
doesn't matter really.
I think sort of pop starlet is what she comes under the umbrella Ella of.
Oh, nice!
Wow,
I love the way your brain works.
Like I said, we don't know if anything about what these people really are behind closed doors.
No,
we never, and I don't believe we ever will, because it's part of the machine that makes them significantly enormous piles of dough.
Yeah.
On a yearly basis. It has to be that way for them.
You kind of have to applaud Kim Kardashian, really. I mean, she's parlayed being in a sex tape with like a Z-grade rapper and being Paris Hilton's friend into this multi-billion dollar sort of corporation / career.
Yeah, see, I've got no problem with it. Good on them. Go for it.
Like, I wish I had that kind of alchemy power where I could turn such inauspicious beginnings.
Is that why you've hung on to all your sex tapes and you haven't released them? Yeah.
And mine are literally sex tapes. They're on tape, videotape, like 1-inch videotape.
It's a bit bigger. They were a bit bigger than that, weren't they?
Oh, stop it.
No, I say, you are being good on ya.
They're on U-matic.
Being very
they've
modest.
Got a market.
My sex tapes are on wax cylinders.
They've got a market. I was going to say they're not hurting anyone, but they've killed someone, allegedly. But, you know.
What? Her sex tapes
haven't. If people want to watch it, go ahead and watch it. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I kind of had that.
If they make $1 billion, who cares?
Yeah.
It's just...
I kind of came to a... And I can't remember whether I talked about it on the podcast, but I had this sort of revelation late last year. I went, I really like video games, and my missus likes the Kardashians, and both of those things are equally dumb and stupid and a waste of time. And like... Because I like one and don't like the other doesn't make the other any less valid.
The old four-wall normality. You get used to your own four walls and it's normal, and then you see other people doing things that you don't do, and you just and then you kind of make a judgment on it.
What I'm saying is a far more pessimistic view on that is that everything that anyone likes is dumb and stupid and shit.
Yeah.
And we all just like, you know.
Not everything.
Yeah, no, everything.
Not
pretty much.
No, yeah, everything.
But so there's a scene in Keeping Up with the Kardashians the other day where one of them was having a baby shower and the mother, Kris Jenner, was giving a speech and everyone was wearing white and the lush lawn and all of the gifts and everything looked like they started $1 million and went up from there. And she gave this really passionate, emotional speech in such a way, it reminded me of a scene from The Hunger Games. You know, like you've got this powerful, rich, white-dressed people.
Except the haircuts in The Hunger Games aren't as stupid as the ones on the Kardashian show.
Creating entertainment.
That one's
masses.
A real sleeper
but
for
think
people
about
who watch
that
Kardashians
too.
And the Hunger Games movies, by the way.
If we transitioned very quickly into an environment in which we had the masses,
had
and we're almost at that now, the masses...
Combat for food?
Well, no, I was going to say, if we transitioned to a place where we had the masses living in... I'm talking globally here. Mm. Living in shanties with
like
nothing.
Like Elysium.
And then, yes, and then in a very, very small percentage of the population living in opulence... Mm. The Kardashians are going to be a representative, to a certain extent, of that opulent percentage. They are going to be the ones with the power.
It's never going to last, though.
It won't last because they
History's
won't...
History's shown it time and time again.
No.
When
but they also... It won't, the reason why it won't last is because they rely...
The ones up against the wall.
For a long time now, the rich, the uber rich, rely on the rest of the populace to create... manufacture, generate everything that they then are enjoying and consuming. Mm. Everything. They can't make anything for themselves. They can't construct anything for themselves. They can't create their own food. They can't create their own power. They can't, you know, source their own resources.
Yeah.
So that's why that system
consumers
will never work.
And producers of nothing.
Because if they were to, you know, abscond themselves, how are they going to survive for longer than a few weeks? Because the rest of us are the ones that actually support their existence.
That could be true.
Oxfam released a report late last year that said that in 2016, if things don't change drastically, the 1% who represent the richest people in the world will have the equivalent of the wealth of the other 99%.
Oh, yeah.
1%. Yeah. Now, you look and you think, how is that even possible? When you look at the three richest, for instance, their wealth is in the 100 billion range. The guy at Saudi Arabia is in 100 billion. The next one down is Bill Gates. It's around 54 billion. Mm. And then Warren Buffett's about 52 billion. So there's a little bit of a dick size contest when they have dinner parties each year.
But there is a shit ton of people. Because 1% of the population is a lot of people.
Yeah, so the top 1% will represent
99%. Well, there's 7 billion people in the world, 1% of 7 billion would be 7 million, wouldn't it? 700,000?
70 million.
70 million?
Anyway, whatever it is, it's a lot. Whatever it is, it's a lot.
Post it on our paper.
I don't know what the percentage is right now.
Yeah,
like,
70 million, you're right.
Yeah, so 70 million people, even if they had the average of wealth of 100 million each, which that'd be about probably a close thing. Mm. We're talking trillions there that they own.
Yeah,
so
correct.
It does work. That does work. And it's close to that now. That's that's more disturbing. That what you just said is disturbing. Mm. The 1% own what the 99% own, right?
Yep.
But we're close to that already. We're probably at 2% own 98%.
What is amazing?
We're incrementally getting towards it.
I read a statistic in the last couple of years that... I think it was 85% of the world's wealth
is owned by.
No, hang on. It was
80-20. That is.
No. It has.
It's nowhere
to do
near
with,
that. It's way past that.
Yeah, that was back.
I think
in the last 2 years, most of the world's wealth was held by 80-something people, and it's now shrunken to 60.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that wealth has consolidated even within that group to a smaller.
Yeah,
group.
Yeah, the scarier thing is that 0.0001%. Of the population, i.e. 50 people, owns 70+, 80+% That's the scary one. Because
you know that
that's where wealth inequality goes from being a problem to being like a planet killer kind of thing. There's no getting away from that.
You know, a lot of people don't have an understanding of how much $1 billion actually is. Like
Is there too many noughts for your calculator, or can you get a billion on your calculator?
I don't know. But I've heard it described like this. Like, there are around about 1 million seconds in a month, right? So there's $1 million.
Yep.
1 billion seconds is 11 years.
Wow.
So $1 million is a month.
Wow.
$1 billion is 11 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's the difference between the two.
Because how many million are in a billion? It's
a thousand.
A thousand.
Thousand.
1,000 million is in a billion.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Wow, I never kept up at school.
Yeah.
I actually embarrassed myself in a school, because it's our 20-year school reunion this year. Mm. And they asked us to give a quote for video production. And so I've given a quote. Matt's going to help out, film it. And we worked out it's about $1,000 or something, because I want 2 hours and a lot of editing. And so I wrote, so if we get 150 people coming, that's like, it's only $15 a head.
What? When did you do that?
You need to get a business manager, dude. Because I'm not even that good at maths, and I know that's fucked up.
So did you then go back, wait a minute, did you then go back and do that calculation?
No. They told me what it was. Times 15? They go, no, Adam, it's more like around $7.
Yeah. And then what did you say?
And then someone went, yeah, you obviously didn't pay attention in maths. And I was like, well, it was the football coach that taught maths.
There's a lot of maths in sport.
Bill and Melinda Gates give away 90% of their wealth, and they're still worth $54 billion.
Yeah.
How many years is that?
$54 billion? Well, it's...
So you said 1 billion is 11 years.
It's 11. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Oh, my God.
Still not sure what the whole year, 11 years is a billion analogy is meant to be, but anyway.
Head around
it's to give you a concept of how big a billion is.
It's made it worse.
Like, this 1 second goes by, right? That's $1. So
for who? Not for me, it isn't.
Don't be an arsehole.
I wish it
Tension.
Was. Tension. So,
well, you know,
have you seen any good movies?
I saw a couple. Birdman, awesome.
Yeah, Birdman.
Yeah, I've still
got to
see that.
Awesome.
I saw John Wick. That was cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Keanu Reeves one.
Yeah, where he just kicks fucking
ass. I rewatched it. It is really good. And it's some really great sort of... It's a young director.
Yeah.
And obviously watched a lot of John Woo movies as a kid.
Apparently the director is the guy who was in Keanu's stunt team on The Matrix.
Wow, okay.
And he's like they've been working together since then.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
To get
and there's a lot of that. You can just tell how much they've just rehearsed every move and the gunplay in it
so great.
Is incredible. And I mean, it's violence pornography,
yeah,
really,
it's
is
ultra
what it is.
Violent.
So it's again, we're talking back to that things that are worth very little, except for just that kind of thrill of watching it up front. But yeah, it's just an incredible
it's
achievement
really well
in
crafted.
Terms of just being able to make a really great story. That just and sort of just moves along.
Sort of, I mean, yeah, it's cool. A pretty hokey kind of story. I mean, it's like
well,
Hitman
it's
gets drawn back into the game.
Revenge.
Yada, yada, yada.
It's a revenge flick.
But the violence is just so
I love revenge flicks.
Full on and stylized, and it's really well done and really well shot, and you can tell where everything is all the time. You know how you get that kind of Paul Greengrass, Bourne Identity sort of shaky cam thing all the time?
No, yeah. This is a whole lot.
It's
I
not
don't
like
mind that,
that at all.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I rewatched, and I hadn't sat down and watched for a very long time, was Michael Mann's Heat.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten how formidable a film it is. It's
I've got the lady disc of that.
Incredible piece of work.
The sound is fucking amazing.
And again, it is, well, yeah, but it is also one of those films that's meticulously constructed from the ground up.
Mm.
Both in terms of, it's one of the few movies that came out in that era, and well, really in any era, that beautifully mixes some incredible set pieces with some of the best character-driven drama you were ever going to see.
Yeah.
I'd just forgotten, and I just picked it up. Just an old DVD of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go and get the Blu-ray now.
Yeah. How did he get Miami Vice so wrong? I didn't like that.
It was all right. Like, it wasn't
bad. I think the property itself, perhaps, was not strong enough.
Did he do Collateral?
Yes.
Was that Michael Mann?
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
Heat was based on stuff that he had developed and written over a long period of time. He'd actually written it originally as a TV series called L.A. Takedown, which they shot a pilot for, and it never got up the ground.
Mm.
And it was all based on these real stories about these Chicago, mainly, based crooks and cops, because he was just fascinated by the relationship between the two and how they're very similar. They're just two...
Some different sides of the law.
Yeah, and not even that, not even two sides of a coin, just two sets of decision-making.
Yeah.
Mm.
But one set of guys, the only real difference is one set of guys have morality and the others don't, ultimately. Like, you know, the De Niro's character, the De Niro's character is a sociopath. He is someone who will, if someone he loves, he'll do anything to protect, but he won't give a shit about your wife if she's in your way, in his way to get for what he wants. Whereas Pacino, both people, the people that he's closest to and complete strangers, he's got compassion for and he wants to help. And that was that's the kind of duality that he was exploring. Just amazing stuff. But it just reminded me that the best movies, the great movies, just they do stand up over the test of time, and you can go and revisit them, and they're as fresh as they were.
What's your favourite revenge movie, seeing as you've seen one?
Ooh.
That's a really good question. I'll tell you my favourite revenge movie that's never been made.
What?
And it was going to be made. It's based on a Tom Clancy novel called Without Remorse, which was a book that he wrote around the time he was doing all the Jack Ryan stuff. And it was one of the first books he wrote that didn't have Jack Ryan as its central character. It had John Clark, which was this other character he developed.
A satirical comedian who was on ABC
Different John Clark.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a really wonderful revenge movie, revenge story, and they were going to make it, and Gary Sinise was going to be the lead, and Gary Sinise had just done Forrest Gump, and he was pretty hot property.
But you ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dan.
And then...
and then he did Ransom.
Yes, and then for some reason, it just disappeared. It was tragic. Anyway, there's my favourite one that
and
was never made.
You couldn't see him being the baddie in Ransom because he'd just done Forrest Gump.
Mm.
Mm. My favourite, I've got two favourite revenge movies. One of them is Jodie Foster. Have you seen The Brave One?
I thought you were going to say The Accused.
Not bad.
That's good. And then this other one, which I love, and it gets wilder and wilder until the last scene, and then it's just like, it's so over the top. Mm. It's good. And that's Kevin Bacon in Death Sentence.
I've not seen that.
They're pretty much the same movie.
They're the same movie made the same year with two different genders. Yeah.
Amazing. I've not seen either of them. I've not seen
Death Sentence, but I have seen The Brave One.
1 hour and 45 minutes of action.
What about you, dude?
I don't know.
Do you like the Charlie Bronson ones?
I haven't seen any of the Death Wish or anything like that in so long.
Jeff Goldblum's in the first Death Wish as basically a speaking extra. He's a punk on the phone.
Yeah.
And then pretty much only a couple of years later, he was playing The Fly.
Yeah.
And it's weird to see him as a nobody and then all of a sudden just stratospherically.
Lawrence Fishburne's another guy like that.
Yes.
Where you go back and watch a bunch of movies from the 80s and he's he's in King of New York and stuff like that.
That's right.
But he was Larry Fishburne back then.
Yeah.
Larry, that's
it. Yeah, he built himself as Larry Fishburne.
How good is he in Hannibal? Do you watch Hannibal?
I haven't actually seen Hannibal.
The show Hannibal.
Unbelievable.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
Revenge movies, jeez. I don't know. Would Die Hard 3 count as a revenge movie?
Simon Gruber. That's Vengeance, isn't it? Die Hard with a vengeance. What about...
One that I did see. I did see the one with
the guy that talks like this?
What?
Is there a guy who talks like this? No.
No. You've lost me.
Oh, do you mean Timothy Oliphant from Justified? He's in Die Hard 4.
I was trying to do Clint Eastwood.
I know.
Gran Torino.
But it was... Yeah.
Get the hell off my lawn.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, it's a bit...
Get the hell off my lawn.
Yeah. Off your loins.
What?
Get the hell off your loins.
Lawn. You know, because he's like an old man.
Oh, yeah.
You say yours.
There wasn't a bad movie... It came out a couple of years ago with Dwayne Johnson, The Rock in it, called Drive or Driven. That's a revenge movie.
Mm. No, hang on. Woo, you mean... Drive? That hasn't got The Rock in it. You're talking about the guy, Ryan Gosling.
No, that's Drive.
No. It must be Driven then.
Well, Driven's Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, you mean the Formula 1?
You mean the Formula 1 one. No,
this is
one.
This is different.
This is a different one. It only came out like 1 or 2 years ago.
Let me get my IMDb out so that we can get on the right track.
It's got Dwayne Johnson in it.
It's Dwayne Johnson.
He's like a father or husband or something who's going after the people who ruined his life or something like that. I don't remember that much about it, other than that it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's called Driven.
Maybe. I'm sure Adam will quickly look it up. Mm. I'll tell you one I've loved a long time.
No.
I suppose you can call it revenge movie, is Darkman.
Faster.
There he goes.
Yep. Yeah,
and he went 7 days without eating.
Mm.
And he was the faster.
He was the faster, yeah. That reminds me, on another podcast that I've talked about before, Doug Loves Movies, they play these movie-based trivia games, and one of the categories was paper, and that's movies in which The Rock dies.
Oh, right.
That's fantastic.
Paper beats Rock.
Love it.
I've got something in my eye.
We play a mate of mine in Sydney, we've played this game for the last... 14 years, and it's called Two Stars, and you have to think of two actors, like I'll say two actors that have acted together, and you've got to think of the film, and if there's multiple ones, you get an extra point for each one that you get. So if I said Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, for instance, there might be 5 or 6 films.
Right, that you've just got to string them out.
But you don't have to, they don't have to be the leads in the movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're not allowed to be animations, that's why I got that mixed up with...
That's good shit.
Yeah, History Canada. Well, it's too obscure. There's too many voices.
We used to have a travel game when we'd go out on the road and do gigs where you'd say an actor and then another person had to say a movie that actor was in and then a co-star and then the next person would have to say a movie that person had, we used to call it six degrees.
Yeah.
Jamie and I would always be the only ones really keep up.
And you'd only play it if you had a traveller.
We both... If we had a travel erection.
A what?
Those were just happy accidents.
You used to get those in the back of bus on excursions.
You've seen Darkman?
Yeah. Love Darkman.
That's a great revenge movie. Greatest superhero franchise that never really became anything. Yeah. Well,
Colin,
Sam Raimi adapted
Colin
it from...
in a horrendous performance, one of his only Hollywood performances.
Mm. It's Liam amazing. Neeson.
And the other role. The other revenge movie that's
was
pretty.
Was he the Dark Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Revenge movie that I'm really surprised you guys haven't brought up. It's probably one of the best revenge movies mm-hmm. ever is Jaws 4.
Oh, well, we brought that Colin, up a few podcasts revenge. Ago. Yeah.
Was it called The Revenge?
Yeah, Jaws, the revenge.
Jaws 4, The Revenge.
I'm joking. Yeah. Yeah. And yet, there is literally really no revenge in it at all. None.
Isn't
zero.
Isn't it the shark's revenge against everyone else?
It's not the same fucking shark, first of all. It can't be.
It's because it's a baby shark.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Jaws' baby.
I can't remember.
It's not.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
And he is
got his
emotionally...
head blown up in the first movie.
He, well, that's... And his little baby knew about it.
Every movie, the shark dies in the end.
Yeah.
it can't be even
point.
Related.
It's very
it
sad.
Can't be. No.
It's actually metaphorical.
The revenge bit is the revenge on the people that have gone to see it, I think.
You know what my favourite revenge movie is? Bambi 2.
Is
the
Bambi...
hunter gets hunted.
Yeah.
That's not a real movie.
It's not. I was going to look it up on IMDb here. Bambi 2.
Bambi 2.
Let me go to that.
The tide turns.
Do you know a sequel that I got screwed
Bambi
when 2. I was...
Bambi was the bolt action.
What about a revenge movie? Titanic 2. Like the Titanic,
Titanic
comes back
2.
Up and then...
Yeah,
goes
yeah.
around
the
killing
is
people.
Back.
No, well, yeah, it goes and it hunts down icebergs with a death
yeah.
ray.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there is a Bambi 2. Patrick Stewart's one of the
really?
Voices in it.
Make it so.
Have you seen him in the show Extras?
Yeah, hilarious.
With Ricky Gervais.
Oh, it's magic.
And he's
magic.
Describing his script,
what
his
he
plot.
Wants.
Yeah, and all it
and
is
all
is just
women.
Scenarios in which women's clothes fly
and all
off
the
and
women
he sees everything
because their clothes. Just drop off.
And what's
and
great...
she tries to cover herself, but it's
he,
too late.
And,
too
and
late
in the
because
story,
I've already seen. I've already
he's
seen.
In the story, and literally his only role is to just to sit, not involve himself with the women, not touch them in any way, just watch, just see them.
Yeah.
Just see them naked.
And my other favourite one in Extras is Sir Ian McKellen, who's sitting down like a theatre company style director.
So good.
Auditioning. And he wants Ricky Gervais's character to know what acting is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I learn my lines, and then I speak them, and somebody says, stand there, and I do. And that is acting. That wasn't too bad.
And that was
in my head, it sounded just like him.
Mm.
Was it?
In my head.
I've got Ian McKellen here. Hang on.
You've got Ian McKellen on the line.
I have got
and
Ian
we welcome
McKellen
by phone
wait,
from England.
Wait,
is Sir Ian McKellen.
Wait, I've got to get the...
Gandalf himself.
I have to... the welcome. Lines... Wait a minute. I'm just getting the line...
Magneto himself, Eric Lynchure from the X-Men.
Wait, no, we've lost him. Where is he?
Ian.
Come back, Sir Ian.
Oh, here he is. Here he is. Oh, Sir Ian. Sir Ian, how are you? Can you just give us... Just something from one of your favourite movies, just so you can... Just give us the thrill of it. Here we go.
I think
that
how
was
a bit over
incredible.
The top.
He actually had an orchestra behind him there.
But that's, you know, that's what a professional actor does.
Just very over the top.
When you put him on the spot...
Yeah.
And mind you, I gave
he
him...
He has
a,
an orchestra
I gave
at
him
home
a,
with him.
Yeah.
I gave him a fair bit of time to get ready for that.
They're in his living room.
He really came out with the goods.
Amazing. And yet the resonance is still there. And he's an old dude.
Apparently, massive schlong. That's what they say.
Yeah,
and
I've
that
heard
is
that
why
too.
That is why they cast Michael Fassbender as his younger self.
Because he too has a massive schlong. Makes
he's
sense.
So
a,
him or Liam Neeson.
He is. They call
McGregor.
Him Tangles.
Ewan McGregor, yeah. Ewan McGregor went through a phase when he was younger that every single movie had to show his cock.
Yeah.
It was like there wasn't
well,
many.
Why wouldn't
if you had
would
one
you?
Like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'd get it out right now. But I don't. Whatever.
Yeah, you don't, there's no need, Adam. Can you stop putting your... Can you just pull your... Mate, can you...
I need.
You don't need to...
I need to have a word.
Wait, there it is. Hello. He has pulled
Hello,
his pants Taylor. Down and...
Ooh, that's
it
a
is not...
There, that's not always
that
there. That's just
really
something...
You know how we were talking the other day? You said...
That's
you
just
said,
come up in the last week.
Remember how you said it was 20 centimetres the other day?
20...
It's not.
I don't think you understand what a centimetre is.
Yeah.
No, I really... Well, it's
you
a game.
The metric
it's my
system.
Maths, and I went... And then I realised what millimetres were.
Whatever it is you're using to measure yourself with, you need to go and
get it calibrated.
20 millimetres.
Get it checked.
I mean,
yeah.
it's
not even
it's
that.
Nice looking. It's not bad
yeah,
looking.
Yeah, the head's
proportionally, it's right on the money.
It's very handsome.
I'm hoping my wife's not listening to this show.
Alarming vascularity.
What is the what's the growth bit?
That's just this weird orange hair that we got from one of our ancestors.
Mm. Right.
It's not really a growth. It
and
just
why
looks
is
like
that
a growth.
Orange hair growing out of what looks to be like a third sort of testicle.
Because that's how we are.
Right.
Mm.
Look, it's fascinating.
That's the famous Drummond third.
It's a bit like the Elephant Man. Like you look at him, you look at him.
It's very hard to look away.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's like a car accident, right here.
You look at him, it's disgusting.
It's like a car accident in my pants.
That's really disturbing. But then eventually, it's
sort of fascinating,
mesmerizing,
yeah, exactly,
magnetic.
Yeah, and then you do what James Spader does.
I'm going to Instagram it.
Is it James Spader in the original Crash?
Mm.
Yeah.
What?
Well, he penetrates the wounds.
Yeah.
From car accidents.
That's Holly Hunter's leg, I think. He fucks.
Let's do History Can of Bullshit.
He didn't even use any butter.
No.
Let's do History Can of Bullshit.
Mm. Yes, I have another round of History Can of Bullshit for the.
And I've been practicing my Bob Hawke.
And you surely you've had a week to get a new. You've had a week to get a Michael Caine quote. Do a Harry Brown.
Wait, you got to do history first.
I've got to do history first.
What was that?
I'm trying to do like a really deep. Oh.
But you're not actually saying any words.
I'm being a Neanderthal man.
Oh.
Uttering the first language.
Thank
no,
God.
It was not that. It wasn't that. It was. It was
that's
more
too
sort
guttural.
Of. Yes, it was. It was more sort of like really low. It was more that. No. No.
Yeah.
So here we go. Here we go. 9,000 BC. No.
They're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Right.
There you go. Wow. You guys, it's like you're entertainers.
Except
History
Can
of Bullshit for February 20. Quick recap for those of you who don't know. I don't know how many that would be by now. I throw out a one-word synopsis, and my two co-hunts here have to describe whether it is from this day in history, whether it's the plot of a Michael Caine film, or whether it's bullshit and I made it.
How are you going to do it in a one-word synopsis?
One sentence.
Did I say one word?
And
yeah. A one sentence synopsis.
I've got a feeling that this is it for me. This is gonna be I'm gonna bust open the drought.
I've got a one word synopsis. Man bat.
Ooh. That's a cane.
Magicians.
That's a cane as well. Morgan Freeman.
Shark.
That's Kane. Hang on, we better get on to the real game. Come on.
Zulu.
People are...
That's definitely Kane. Okay, History Kane of Bullshit for February 20th. Number one. An Allied fighter pilot in a last-ditch effort to save his squad mates single-handedly repels an incoming formation of enemy bombers. I'll read it again. An Allied fighter pilot, in a last-ditch effort to save his squad mates, single-handedly repels an incoming formation of enemy bombers.
Single-handedly,
Do you know what? I've got this image in my head of Michael Caine wearing World War II fighter pilot gear.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
So I'm going to say Caine.
Wow, because it's history.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yep.
How sure are you?
Pretty sure.
Do you want to retain your lead over?
Yep.
You made the right decision. That is, in fact, history. 1942, this day in 1942, pilot
Edward
O'Hare shot down 5 bombers and damaged the rest in a squadron of 9.
Yep.
O'Hare Airport in Chicago is named after him. He was eventually shot down in the war on November 26, 1943.
Now, if this was...
Loser! Right, next.
If this was history, Connery... Or bullshit. I would have thought it was the scene from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade when he gets his umbrella out and pumps those pigeons.
Birds up.
Yeah,
of course,
the seagulls.
They were fighters and not bombers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Number two. An enterprising pickpocket takes the opportunity of a lifetime, stealing the $100,000 check from the winner of a boxing match as he exits the ring.
It sounds like something that Michael Caine would do, and it might not have been him that did it, but but I'm still going to go with Caine.
Bullshit.
You are, in fact, both wrong. It is from history. In 1985, Sot Chitalada won the WBC flyweight title defense fight.
What's his name? Chitalada?
Sot Chitalada.
Jesus.
Chitalada? I don't know. But he he defended his WPC flyweight title, and for that received a $104,000 check, which he put in his pocket and was immediately pickpocketed ringside.
Wow. You would not think that you'd be able to find that in history, but you did.
I did some digging. Number three. A British newspaper correspondent covering the Vietnam War uncovers more than he bargained for while writing a major story.
Kane.
Do that again.
A British newspaper correspondent covering the Vietnam War uncovers more than he bargained for while writing a major story.
Kane.
Bullshit. Adam is correct. That is the plot of The Quiet American from 2002.
Yeah, he was very quiet, and so was Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Hey. No, that's all right. No.
Oh, sorry. Yep, that's me.
Go.
I thought we'll that was one of your cards. You
we're going to talk about other stuff while you're doing that.
Yeah, we'll carry on. Sorry, James.
Just so that people know what's going on here, because we're not going to cut this out. Jamie Way, as usual, was late to this podcast. And there's three cars parked in this in this quadrangle out at Charles Sturt University. And Jamie decides that it's okay to park behind all three. So he's blocked this bloke in, he's blocked me in, he's blocked you in.
Well, it's not me.
It's not you, but it's blocked
but
someone.
Still,
So this guy has just come in who I've never seen before.
Who wants to leave, who wants to go home. And who's been here working very hard, educating our young
adults.
Is
he one of our educators, is he?
Yeah.
God
love
him.
He's a good man.
And you can
see
he was in a rush. He was in a rush.
He was.
And he's very politely said, I'm sorry to interrupt.
He was restrained.
He was restrained, right? Because I would have punched someone in the head. I would have punched them. And he's just come in and just gently said, I'm sorry to interrupt. Someone's blocking me in. And then Jamie Way has just put his hand up and said, yep, that's me. And now he's back. Jeez, you backed out quick.
And
that
I
was
will
awesome.
Say, Jamie was very... Jamie, you dealt with that very well.
Yeah, because if I was you, I would have punched him in the nose too. There should have really been a fight
anyway,
then.
Carry on.
There should have been a fight.
We're going to leave all that in. So.
Is it 2-0? I just need to catch up with the score because of what happened
it's then. It's 3-0.
No, it's 2 because I got the second one wrong as well.
Yeah, that's right. You did.
Yeah, it's 2-0.
The boxing.
So I could get a draw here. Mm.
Depends if there's another two questions or not.
There are another two questions. Number four. Police discover the whereabouts of a notorious escaped Nazi war criminal hiding from justice. History cane or bullshit?
Well, that's a good question, Jamie. It sounds like Marathon Man, but that's not... Michael Caine's not in that.
No.
But it sounds like it. But it also sounds like a Christopher Plummer movie with Jodie Foster, but it's not that either.
It also sounds like Apt Pupil with Sir Ian McKellen.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like that. A lot like that. He's got a massive one. It's long. But it's not that either. So I'm going to go with bullshit.
Olsen?
History.
You're both incorrect. That is the plot of the Michael Caine film The Statement from 2004.
Apparently it's horrendous.
I haven't seen it. I've hardly seen any of these, Michael Caine.
Is that the one with Demi Moore?
I don't know.
Okay.
Number five, the final one. This is your chance to draw.
No,
you're not going to draw from here.
No, he's lost.
Number five, an alcoholic failed actor.
Don't
attempts...
give a fuck, he's lost.
An alcoholic failed actor attempts to reunite with his estranged family for Christmas, but is hindered by eccentric characters and wacky circumstances.
Well, I feel very confident I know the answer to this, but I'll let you go first.
Okay. I think it's Caine.
I think it's bullshit because you use the word wacky.
Wacky gets used in film reviews all the time.
It does.
Not by you.
By Leonard Maltin and...
But not
no,
in
no,
this
no.
case.
No, no.
Not in this case. Is it in fact bullshit?
That was almost a sweep.
You're very good at this game.
That's three, eight
Adam
zip.
Drummond.
Eight zip.
Yeah. You got to lift your game, Olsen.
Yeah, or not.
You know why? I really love the game, and I'm not particularly good at it, but I love it. Balderdash, and it's kind of got that sort of...
I love Balderdash.
Yeah, well, we should do that.
You know what I played the other day that's really fun is Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, I have not played that.
It's so much fun.
Cards Against Humanity.
Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity. So you get a deck of five answer cards, right?
Yep.
And everyone who plays... five or seven or ten, doesn't really matter.
Yep.
You get these white cards that have... an item or, you know, something on them. And it's basically like Mad Libs. Like, you take an intern to go around the circle and the dealer sort of pulls out a black card that has a statement or a question on it. And it might say... And they're always, like, really sort of offensive and horrible, but also quite funny things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Pizarro's great gift to the Incans of South America was...
Right.
And then like you might be holding on. Cards that say syphilis.
Yeah.
And, you know, loose fitting socks. Or
yes.
There's one that says Daniel Radcliffe's delicious asshole.
Oh. Is it?
Stuff
so,
like that.
So the job of the...
What you've got to try and do is everyone contributes what they think is the best, like funniest,
of their somebody tasted it?
And then the deal reads them out one by one and you all decide which was the best one and that person gets the black card and whoever has the most black cards at the end wins.
It sounds very racist.
Well, I don't.
It's a whole heap of white cards and black cards, and some are evil and some are good. And you go,
I mean, its offensiveness is not merely bound to racism. It's quite sexist and misogynist.
That's the whole.
Oh, it covers everyone, so it's
classist,
okay.
Yeah.
Ableist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genderist.
Well. We might have to get a hold of it. We have a game or two.
It's
on
so funny.
Jeez, I've heard you say that a couple of times.
It is so funny. Like we played a couple of times. Here's a look behind the scenes for you. We played a couple of times in the
waiting to do the Wizard of Oz.
Oh right,
it's a good way to get and do that's a good way show. To get your improv chops up and running.
And yeah,
great idea.
We played I had a headache from laughing so hard one time.
Awesome.
Like, and not once so you were funny. Dirty.
Oh,
in your ad-libbing for kids, though,
afterwards. No. You get it all out of your system in your dressing room.
It's like a purge.
Good idea.
It's like a purge.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. The Purge.
I've heard it's not very good.
I bet we...
what? Ethan Hawke? It's great.
Might wrap it up.
I'll tell you what I did see that's good with Ethan Hawke, and it is Predestination.
Yeah, loved it. Whoa, what a mind trip that is.
Yeah.
And you kind of... And we fell asleep at the three-quarter mark, which you can't do, and then pick it back up.
No.
You have to go back and you have to start again.
Featuring
really cool
Aussie actor Sarah Snook.
Sarah Snook,
absolute revelation.
And
it's an interesting name.
And you can't watch
Sarah
it.
Snook.
You can't watch it until you've seen the film. But the interviews at the end are terrific. They interview the actors and the producers and the writers who are twin brothers. It's just great.
The Spierig brothers. Yeah. They did Undead.
And Madeline West was in it. She popped up with a small role. Mm. Madeline West from Neighbours.
There's a bunch of Aussie actors in it. I think they shot it here. They must
It's all shot here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, when I say here, we're in Wagga.
Australia.
But it was in Melbourne, Australia.
That way.
Down there. See
south.
Where I'm pointing?
Over yonder.
Yeah.
Mexicans. Yeah.
Are you allowed to say that now? South of the
Shall
border?
We? Yeah, I think we should wrap it up.
So we haven't had much correspondence of late.
No, we haven't.
To the,
so we need
to the Twitter handle. I'm assuming we haven't had much to the Facebook page. I mean, you guys haven't told me.
I think Devin Schmolson's probably put some shit jokes
in. He has. He's put some stuff on there that are embarrassing. You know what it reminds me of is a bunch of guys who probably would have been in media decades ago who have got all of this old humour from old television shows they watched.
It's actually not that at all. It's very new humour.
Is it?
Just for old...
Just in an old-fashioned way.
Old-fashions.
Here's one from
fashioned.
Him.
Oh, you got one?
Yeah, I got one. I got
we better read it
always
out.
At my fingertips.
Always. We better read it out.
He did write one that has 42...
Characters,
a list
words.
Of 42 things in it. And it took me 6 hours to read it.
Was it this 42 one, ways shorter. To waste your time on social media?
Yeah, and it wasn't until the 42nd one that it was
one.
Read this.
Two. This one.
This is one for the thinkers from Devon. So many people never get anywhere in life because when opportunity knocks, they're in the backyard looking for four-leaf clovers. That was Walter Chrysler that said that.
The guy who built the Chrysler building.
He built the Chrysler car.
No.
And then they made a building after him for building the car.
No.
Look it up. And
I think that one's bullshit. But, I don't think that's a canon
but,
history.
But what he's saying there is quite true. A lot of people are out there getting lottery tickets. A lot of people are out there getting scratchies, waiting for this elusive $1 million to roll in instead of rolling up their sleeves and doing hard work and getting it that way and becoming a Kardashian.
Adam, it's not even that literal.
Or a Jenner.
It could be just a lot of people are out there putting a comment on Facebook or lining up to audition for a reality show or something like that. Expecting to win the lottery via some instant fame or instant sort of
mine thing. Wasn't literal. Literal would be looking for a four-leaf clover in the backyard.
Yeah.
Although I think you raise an interesting point. I think the concept of enjoying.
I've never, you know that I've never really understood literal means. I don't really know, nor care. Carry on, Jamie.
Literally.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think that
I literally don't care.
The daydream of winning the lottery and having fortune fall into your lap is about on par with the idea that that kind of wealth is accessible to you if you just roll your sleeves up and work hard
What are you saying?
I think that hard work has virtues of its own, but I think a lot of people are misled into the idea that there's no ceiling on what they can achieve just through force of will and hard work. A lot of people start from a very disadvantaged position.
Are you saying that Tony Robbins and people like that who get up and make it sound like you can get where he is just because he's there, it's false? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely 100%
true. Do you know how
true.
Tony Robbins is rich?
Yeah, he's rich.
Do you know how he's rich?
Because he does a lot of talking and shit.
Yeah. He's selling you books filled with stuff like, you can get anywhere you want if you roll your sleeves up hard enough and do enough work.
No, that's not what I'm saying, though. If you don't come from a background of wealth,
yeah,
you can't acquire wealth without the hard work.
No. Well,
that's
what
I'm
difficult.
Saying.
What Jamie's saying is that
a lot of people,
if you don't come from a background of wealth,
yeah,
it's very unlikely you're going to get wealth even with hard work.
Correct, but it's still just as bad going out trying to get a lottery ticket.
Middle class background. This is what I'm saying is that the idea of sort of prosperity and success is one that's so skewed in our culture that people think that they can get to a wealthy level, like a Kardashian level, like a famous level, through hard work, and it's never as simple as that.
No, not alone.
We have this idea in our culture that of the inverse of that is that people who require welfare and social help and things like that aren't working hard enough, and that's not true at all.
No, they're just not probably working hard enough in the right field to get the $1 million.
Stop. Stop now.
How about we leave it there and we'll come back and we'll discuss this next week. And perhaps for those, for the three of you listening at home, you could
give us your
write
thoughts
in
on,
and contribute to this conversation.
The philosophy of social welfare.
So that's Adam, Ben and Devin. If you've got a thought on this, then throw it in. And that's not true. There's at least one other person, two other people that I'm sure will be listening in.
Yeah, we need the metrics. I want to know where people are listening
I have no idea. It's impossible.
I'm pretty sure there's a couple other people out there. The best way to get those metrics is to ask right now, if you're listening to this,
just tweet us.
Send us some kind of message of some description. Put
we'll
your name on
I'll
it.
I'll see them.
Or some kind of code name.
It sounds
if you don't
like you're trying to contact
identify
aliens.
Yourself. And yeah. Well, it is pretty much
we just want
that.
A signal.
It literally
just send us a
is
signal.
That.
Or
we are SETI
boobs.
And we are
again. It's not.
Boobies.
It's not literally that.
If you are a girl,
if it was literally that, we would be sending out signals to aliens. It's not
boobies. As I said,
it was
my birthday only a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know what literal means.
I
deserve boobies.
That we are sending signals out to aliens.
No,
we're not. We're just asking for you to make a comment.
If the aliens have boobies, yeah, send us alien boobies.
Yeah, all three of them.
We like boobies.
Click, clack, front and back.
Be cool to one another, plus boobies.
Literally, have a nice day.